Two or three verses. I thought my voice sounded loud enough there. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, He must be born again. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? The Lord will bless the reading of his word with that which has gone before. The big message, of course, is ye must be born again. Nothing new to many of us, but perhaps strange to some. It wouldn't be so strange if we understood perhaps the term. Even in the world of newspaper editorials and so on, you'll see the name so-and-so is born again. Of course, he's not referring to this kind of born again, but he's maybe suggesting a change of one company to another, or maybe one political party to another, or some other form like that. He said to be born again. But if they understood what our Bible meant by that, they wouldn't, I don't think, use the term. Comes inconvenient, I suppose, but it's not really the idea. Our Bible tells us, except a man be born from above. That's what it means. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We have been hearing about people being saved. We've been hearing about people having a place, time, when, and a place where, and a matter how they were saved. I would like to ask you tonight if you've ever thought about the change that would take place if you were born again. I think perhaps that's the best way I can handle this tonight. I want to talk about how you can tell whether a person is born again or not, and you can tell whether you are born again or not. Because it is a very real experience, an experience that's drastic enough that you're bound to notice the difference. What is the difference? Well, I want to point out a few things. This new birth will impart to you a new life that you never had before. I could have read verse 16 that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When a person is born again, there is imparted to him a life that he never knew before, that he did not possess before, a life that's different, not only in the physical plane, because we can all have differences taking place in our lives. We go to college, and our life takes on a new complex altogether. We feel all grown up and quite important. Comes a day when we get married, and that changes our life because somebody else comes into our lives to change a few things. And we could probably think of other changes too, but that's not the kind of change I'm talking about. All I want to say is this, that this born again imparts to a person a real, vibrant life that breathes, divine life, that has something to do with changing, and I'll talk about it a little bit more perhaps in a few moments. I want to say this, that life lasts. That life is a permanent change. It is a life that links me with heaven, a life that links me with God, a life that puts me in touch with God, a life that makes me interested in God that was never there before. No wonder, friend, when we're preaching the gospel, you can see why it doesn't come that easy. A lot of people could walk up to the front under some pressure. I know that, and we've seen it. But I've looked on the faces of some of them, and it looks to me like they didn't very much know what they were doing. Weren't thinking very seriously. I want to tell you something, friend. just like little Zacchaeus we've been hearing about, and other stories in the Bible, and I can take my own case if you want. I tell you, friend, it was a very serious moment in our life when we considered where we would spend eternity and what we would do with the one who alone could change our lives, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ, my friend, is that life. And believe it or not, when a person is born again, saved by the grace of God, he has the life of Christ within him. That doesn't mean he's an angel. But it does mean this. He enjoys God. He enjoys the Bible. So, what I can tell you now is this. Here was Nicodemus, and he came to the Lord, and he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Wasn't he a wonderful man to give him that kind of a compliment? You know what Jesus said? He said, except the man be born again. Never mind Nicodemus. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what the Lord Jesus comes on to say when he talks about this being born again is, when what that birth, new birth is imparted to a man, he has a new vision that he never had. I'm talking now about the mind's vision. I'm talking about the interest that a person takes in life. Here he is, and he's occupied with his job, he's occupied with his dollars, his bank account, he's occupied with the sports, maybe, if he's interested in that line of things. He's interested in raising a family, he's interested in having a good home. All his mind is interested in this life. That's his vision. But what about when a person is born again? By the Spirit of God. Born from above, my friend. He has a vision that sees what he could not see when he was not born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see. He's blind, and he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's awful to feel on the outside of something that's evidently extremely important, and evidently not small either. It's a kingdom. Something that must be worthwhile. Something that if I'm left out of, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss blessing for eternity. When I was a sinner on my way to hell and sat in a gospel meeting like this, I trembled. Men would tell us how long they had been saved. 20 years, 30 years. And I said to myself as a boy, I wonder what it feels like to be saved. I wonder what it feels like to know one is going to heaven. I didn't know until the night God saved me. And believe me, my friend, I knew then. Yes, we're introduced to a vision. I was telling the folks not very long ago how it was like when I was saved. This when this new birth took place. Before it took place, the sky was gloomy, thick, dark clouds overhead. There was no color in it at all. Colorless, gray, gloomy. How awful. You say, surely you weren't that bad, boy, at 15. Surely life wasn't like that. Life was all before you. You were in high school at the time, sure. Lots of friends, oh well, yes. But it was dark. You know when it came dark? The darkest, when I sat in a meeting just like this. And I was reminded of eternity. And I was reminded that I had to meet my God. And I was reminded that if I missed it, I'd be in hell forever. Believe me, that didn't make me feel very comfortable, I can tell you. Then came that moment when this sinner was born again. And I tell him, it was just like, all of a sudden the scene changed. The gloom was gone. Sky was blue. The trees were green. The grass was green. Comfort, peace, filled my soul. I could see spiritual vision. I could see the meaning, what we've been hearing about at Calvary. On him almighty vengeance fell, it must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race and thus became my hiding place. I found out that Jesus was real. I found out that he loved me. I found out that he suffered for me on the cross. I found out that I could be comfortable in his presence. Oh, friend, that's the most glorious feeling. Some people don't like us talking about feeling. I know that you cannot depend on your feelings and claim yourself to be saved. But I can tell you this, I wouldn't think that much about somebody who claims to be saved and he doesn't know the joy and the relief of sins forgiven, of a burden lifted, of peace after long searching. Not necessarily that long, some not so long. But I can tell you this, friend, the relief and the pleasure of being comfortable in the sight of Almighty God made this sinner glad. Do you know anything of a similar experience? Not asking you to talk about the changes now, the normal changes. I'm asking you this one thing. When did that new vision that gave you something to see of the kingdom of God? Not only so, but I suppose we could go a little farther. Our little passage here reminds us of what we know. We know. We speak that we do know. You see, when God saves us by His grace, this new birth imparts to us a new language. I suppose to some of you here tonight, and the language may be strange. There's one man in here, he was just saved last July, out there in Wisconsin. He came to our meetings in the spring of last year. And he told me today that he heard words that he never heard the like in all his life before. He's rejoicing tonight in the knowledge of his sins forgiven. He wouldn't trade places with the king or the queen or the president right now. Friend, tonight, it'll be a new language, a new knowledge, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What's our language now? What do we speak? We speak the praises of Jesus. Haven't you heard it tonight? Haven't you been wondering how this man could talk this way about the Lord Jesus? The answer is, he speaks now that he knows. Friend, we don't think so, or hope so, or guess so, or trust so. We know so. There's an awful lot of people hoping to get to heaven, and they even say, well, I trust so. Or they'll say, well, I believe so. So nothing. Are you saved, and do you know it beyond the shadow of a doubt? Beyond all question, the matter is settled. Well, maybe I'm a little hard on you. I'm going to tell you a little story. One time this woman got saved in our meetings. At least she professed to me. You heard what I said. So anyway, we went to visit her a few days later and had a little talk with her. Margaret, I said, are you saved? She said, she hesitated. She says, I don't know. Well, we tried to find out why. What was the problem? Couldn't express it. So finally, I twigged. I said, Margaret, when we come to visit you and ask you a question and put you on the spot, do you wonder whether you're saved or not? She said, yes. I said, but when we're not around and you're all alone with your Bible and your God, how is it? She smiled. Oh, she said, I know I'm saved. That's the test. Not how they put it across to me or anybody else, but how is it in the presence of God is settled? We know, and we speak that we do know. But I want to tell you something else that I like, and I've got to be quick because the time is passing along, that I think is very interesting. Do you know this? You wonder. Somebody says, if I became a Christian, I don't think I could live it. You're talking about a change. You're talking about an interest in heavenly things. You're talking about an interest in the Bible. And you're talking about being comfortable in God's presence. Yes, and we're comfortable in the presence of believers. When I was an unsaved sinner on my way to hell, I wasn't too comfortable in the presence of Christians, because I was scared they would say something to me personally. And that didn't make me feel very comfortable. And I was less comfortable in the presence of preachers for sure. When God saved me by His grace, it was just the opposite. Comfortable in a place with those who are saved. In fact, I preferred by far to be closer to them. It's just like a little chick that would run to its mother's wings for protection. That's the way I felt as a boy, 15, saved by the grace of God. I was glad to run to the company of believers. I felt very, very safe. No, I didn't want the ungodly now. I don't mean by that in the wrong sense, but I couldn't stand the incessant references to the mundane things of this life. I would prefer to talk about those things that are precious to me, the Word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. Well, when God saves me, and I'm born again, that new birth imparts to me a power. Some people say, well, I couldn't live the Christian life. Yes, you can. Not in your own strength, of course. But when God puts the new life into you, He gives you the strength, the power, can live that different kind of life. Oh, you'll be tested, sure. You don't know it all at once, but it's amazing how in that early moment, just like a babe born physically is supplied with a lot of immunity properties, whatever they call them. The doctor here could tell you more about that. Saul, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, newly found in joy in Christ. He's comfortable in the presence of fellow believers, where the Word of God is there. There's a power and a strength. And there's nothing like the enjoyment of that Christian fellowship to keep us and to make us glad and enjoy the things of the Lord. I want to tell you something else. Did I read there that the person who is born again is brought into the kingdom of God? Yes, I did. Do you know what that tells me? The new birth imparts to me a new society. I've already suggested it. A kingdom. Millions have reached that blissful shore, their trials and their labors o'er, and yet there's room for millions more. Will you go? And there's millions in this world right now saved by the grace of God and on their way to heaven. Don't think if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you would be alone. You might find some difficulty with near friends, yes, maybe some relatives, close relatives. But I'll tell you this, friend, you'll discover that you're in a kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. What a privilege it is to be in that kingdom and to associate in a social way, as we've been doing during this conference time. No, we're not alone. We can shake hands with many and enjoy a fellowship of God's people. My last little point is this. Not an easy thing to be born again. Give you something to think about, but you can check it out with yourself and see if you think so-and-so saved, or you can check it out and think of yourself as saved. Try it out. Here it is. Anyone who's born again is brought under a new allegiance. He's in a kingdom. And he's a subject in that kingdom. He belongs to the Lord. And he says, like Saul of Tarsus, and we've been hearing it tonight. Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road heard that voice in the Hebrew language, and I like that very, very much. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And immediately Saul said, when he recognized it, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He surrendered his allegiance, and he told us later on that we're citizens of a heavenly country. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies of humiliation and fashion them like unto his glorious body, for Christ is going to come. He's not waiting for every Christian to die one by one. They are dying one by one. But there'll be many left at a certain point. Then the Lord Jesus Christ will come to the air, and every true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, born of his Spirit, will rise to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Those that have died in Christ will be raised and get a new body, and will all be changed and fashioned like unto himself. We'll be at home with the Lord. The world will be in a worse state than ever after the Lord Jesus Christ comes. It can be very, very soon. We've been reminded of the recent war in the Middle East, and there's more wars to come and more troubles to come. And think of the day when the salt of the earth will be taken out of this scene and corruption will settle in a worse state even then. I tell you, friend, it's a sad day, but it's a wonderful thing now to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be in that kingdom and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I've got to tell you this before I stop. Our brother reminded me of it. Just a little story that I often tell. You know, in every true conversion, there's a time when, a place where, and a manner how. And I'm very interested in the place, like we've been hearing tonight. If you're saved, where were you? If you're saved, when did it happen? If you're saved, how did it happen? My little story is about a great big fat fellow who attended tent gospel meetings many years ago. He was called Tuffy, and he was a garage mechanic. But he was coming to the meetings, and the more he heard of the gospel, there's nothing like getting back night after night to hear it, believe me. And Tuffy was getting more upset, more discouraged, for he tried to become a Christian. He tried to believe. And the more he tried, the worse it got, the more miserable he got. This particular day, the two preachers who were having the tent meetings, was usually two of us, wasn't myself. These two preachers went to visit this man in his garage. And he looked most miserable when they saw him. They tried to talk to him, tried to help him, couldn't do a thing. They had to leave. And when they left, the next thing was the tent meeting that night. When the meeting was just about to start, in walks Tuffy. But now his face is beaming. And one of the preachers leaned to the other and he said, "Something's happened to Tuffy." So when the meeting was over and they had a chance to talk to him, one of them said, shaking his hand, "Tuffy, where did you get it?" Meaning, where did you get saved? He says, "In the chicken coop." After the preachers left, he couldn't do anything. He closed the shop, but he had a few chickens. So he went out to feed the chickens. And while he was out there feeding the chickens, see, you don't have to be in a special room or a special meeting. That's what our brother reminded me of in this talk tonight. We don't have to be in a special place. But there is a place that's very, very precious to us. I could take you to the place right here in the city of Toronto where I passed from death unto life, where I was born of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you this. I didn't expect to be born again right then. I didn't force it. I didn't born again myself. I didn't do it myself. And I didn't know whether God would do it for me. And I knew if he didn't, I'd be lost forever. And I knew that I couldn't do anything about it. Would God be good enough to save a wretch like me? Once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I didn't expect it. And God was good enough. I walked into that meeting a miserable sinner. I walked out of it an unbelievably happy Christian on my way to heaven. And that's pretty close to 61 years ago. We'll bow in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we ask thy blessing on the meeting tonight. We thank thee for it. We thank thee for the person of thy Son. And we thank thee, Lord, for his deity and his dignity. We thank thee for the exaltation at thy right hand now that he has after being brought so low underneath our load of woe. O God, stoop down so low to the lower parts of the earth, now is exalted into the highest place in heaven, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How we pray, Lord, thou bless this meeting tonight and all who are here. We believe, Lord, there are those who would like to know their sins forgiven, have the matter settled. We ask, Lord, that they may not linger in their sins, but might trust the Savior before it is too late. We ask giving thanks in his worthy and precious name. Amen. And we do invite anyone, if you would like to have a talk with myself or my friend here or any other person, Christian man or woman that you know, why, you just ask them and maybe they can help and answer your question. They can't save you, but they can. We wanted to sing a verse or two of number 29 in the sheet there, and our brother George will look at it.